The EPA can't be everywhere all the time to enforce the nation's pollution laws, so it's developing what it calls next-generation compliance. It boosts in-person efforts with remote pollution sensing and electronic reporting and some other things. Next-gen compliance is the brainchild of David Hinden, Senior Policy Director for Innovation and a finalist in this year's Service to America Medals program. Mr. Hinden, great to have you on.
Thank you.
Tell us more about this whole idea of next generation compliance. What is it and what status is it in at this point?
Well, you know, the traditional approach that EPA has taken with the state agencies for getting folks to comply with environmental regulations was pretty much based on individual inspections at facilities and enforcement actions when there are serious violations. But the universe of facilities is huge. So we need to do something else that, you know, enforcement is critical, but not the only thing. So we're trying to get folks to comply, industry to comply, by building it into the permits, how the permits are structured, how the regulations are structured, transparency for the public. Let me give you like one example. Say you're a petroleum refinery. We now require in a rule that you monitor pollution at your fence line. Not just at your point source, but as your fence line, and you provide that information to EPA states and the public so we know what's going on. So you might find a pollution problem before it's a violation. So that's sort of an example of trying to build it into our program.
And right? How would they supply it to the public, this information?
It's a brand new rule, but it will most likely be provided on a public webpage. And we have actually, that's an excellent question, we have an example in our settlements where we're requiring companies to post their compliance status to actually their websites and to engage with the community on their compliance status, not simply sending it into the government, into a big government database, but to share it with the public, sometimes close to real time.
And how would the public know what it is they're looking at? If it's a bunch of numbers about this particulate or that particular gas coming out, wouldn't they have to know? Like have two numbers side by side, like what it's supposed to be and what's actually coming out here?
Yes, exactly. So we just don't want to dump a bunch of numbers on the public. What we do is we provide context. So you'll see information regarding what is the standard. If there's a standard, what might be the trigger level? There will be links to health data and risk level. So we try and give it context, right? And environmental protection can be complicated, so we try and make it simple for the public so that we empower them at the local level so they can understand it. We don't want to cause alarm for numbers that look scary but really are not. So it is an important part of providing context.
And what about the idea of remote sensors where there can be some sort of automated process of reporting to the states and maybe to these websites also?
Yes, we are getting to the point where you can have what sometimes is called continuous emissions monitoring data, and you can see that in real time. We have a couple of pilots out there, something that we call Village Green. Think of this as a park bench, solar powered. We've got about seven of these, where if you sit on the bench and look up, you can see the ozone pollution and particulate matter, and you can also sign on to an app, and you can see that as well. So that's sort of giving the community information in real time. Another good example of remote sensing that a lot of facilities are doing and EPA is, imagine an old-fashioned video camera, right? But imagine one that's infrared, so it sees differences in heat. Well, there are some of these that can see volatile chemicals, and you can stand in front of a tank. You don't even have to go on top of the tank, and you can see if, for example, there's benzene coming off. You can see it, and the facility can see it in real time and decide if there's a leak, and the EPA or state inspector doesn't have to scramble up to the top of the tank. Or even imagine you go to a gas distribution center and you point the camera at the sewer, and if you see things coming off, you can tell that there was a leak. You don't have to pull it. You don't have to pull open the sewer and lower a person down, but you can see it. You can visualize it.
So it's almost like mass spectronomy for the masses.
Exactly. And what's really cool about infrared technology is you see a video, and you can see that goes from clear to black when it goes into infrared mode. This type of technology is spreading, and it's not just very expensive. You're seeing it used in industry and actually even in some applications in buildings looking for leaks. And it's a very visual, real-time presentation, because when you pull a sample and it goes to the lab and it takes 30 days, by the time you get the results, it's like the problem was a month ago, right? But now we're trying to see, can you solve things in real time? So you have to see it. I don't know if you ever wear a Fitbit or you track your activities.
I do.
Right. So that gives you real-time data, right?
Yep.
So you can look at your Fitbit and or whatever it is, and you can decide as 6 p.m. approaches, you can say, was I a couch potato today? Did I get any steps? And you might decide, you know, after dinner, my spouse and I should take a walk because we didn't do anything today. So that's real-time versus, well, every month you put yourself on the scale, right?
Sure.
That's a little late. So that's what we're trying to do for environmental protection is take some of today's tools and apply them to environmental protection.
We're speaking with David Hinden, Senior Policy Director for Innovation in the Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance at the EPA and a 2016 SAMMY's finalist. And as a SAMMY's finalist, give us an idea of your career, how you came to be in this position and what gave you the inspiration for these ideas for compliance.
Well, I started early in my days at EPA doing water pollution enforcement, cases against cities and industry that were polluting water. And as I moved into the management chain, I got interested in data analytics, like how did we find these cases? And then I moved into some programs where we had voluntary reporting and what were the incentives for transparency. So it was a natural progression. Although I must admit it's understood best in a retrospective mode. I couldn't have told you, you know, 15 years ago that this is where I would have ended up. So it is, it all makes sense when I look back, but I was interested always in how can you have more creative approaches to encourage, compel regulated sources to comply that didn't, you know, assume that you were going to get to the enforcement action because there's just a lot of sources out there. And if we can make it easier, and that's part of it, right? It's not all about technology. Let me give you one example of make it easier. So you send somebody a 50-page permit, and you want them to comply with a 50-page permit. Well, what is a simple way to, you know, do that? Well, maybe you just have a quick summary on top of the permit page, and you say, here's the top 10 things that are essential for you to do. This is not everything, and you still have to comply with your permit, but let's try and boil it down so they can see what's most critical. So sometimes it's technology, but sometimes it's best practices that are not so technology-based.
And maybe it could lead you to get rid of maybe 25 or 30 of those 50 pages in the first place.
Yes, that sometimes is a big hurdle. I've had a lot of pushback when I suggest that, do you really need 50 pages? How about 30? But now we're sort of trying other ideas. How can we make the key requirements more understandable, both for the regulated entity, but you know what? There's another entity that we're interested in, and that's the EPA or state inspector. They need to be able to easily understand what's important so they can focus on it too. So we talk about for next generation compliance, improving the implementation of our rules and permits, and we want them to be easier for government to implement and for industry.
Sounds like you've had some pretty good support from the upper management people at EPA.
Yes, we've had excellent support throughout the political chain at EPA for doing this, and we're making a lot of progress. And what's been amazing is we've done this without creating a new big grant program or a new division. We've taken examples that have been going on. We've integrated them, created principles, tools. We highlight what people have done. And then we talk to the people who write permits and try and say, here's how you could do things, or the people who do rules, or the people who do enforcement actions and inspections. So we've leveraged some great ideas that states and our EPA offices have already been doing and trying to figure out how can we sort of enhance them, make them go forward quicker and support people doing that.
David Hinden, the Senior Policy Director for Innovation in the Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance at the EPA and a 2016 SAMMY's finalist. We'll see you at the SAMMY ceremonies, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.